I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. And people say, well, how are you doing? And I tell people, God is so good. He is so good. He does all things well according to His timing and His purpose. And let's pray to get started, and then we're going to sing some songs. And then we'll share some. Father, You have been so good to us. Thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Father, we want to thank You for the way You've worked in Thelma's life. And I want to thank You for the way You've used her in so many different people's lives in different places. And Father, there's so many things we don't understand about Your greatness. But Father, You keep showing us more and more, and we keep learning more and more about the greatness of our God and the greatness of His loving heart for us. Father, would You meet with us tonight as we sing? Lord, that You would bless the singing, that You would bless the sharing. And Lord, that you'd own this night, even for the salvation of some that are lost, that they might see the glory of Jesus Christ. Please, Father, encourage Your people. If we had a hope in this life only, we'd be of all men most miserable. But Father, You've given us a glorious hope of that which is before us. So help us to rejoice in that. In Jesus' name, amen. God never ceases to amaze me how He uses so many different providences in our life to accomplish such good purposes. We don't always see it up front, but I have a few things to say, yes, but I'd like to give an opportunity to anyone who wants to share something tonight first, and then I'll close with some thoughts and remarks. So I got a microphone here. Don't have to be afraid of it. Brethren, you know I'm not a very formal person. And I don't take love in formality, so I like to have things functioning in an informal way, and people be free to say things. Okay, my boy.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you guys so much for coming. I just wanted to say thank you for being here, but I wanted to just say a little bit of my remembrance of Thelma. From the time I can remember, she lived with us when I was young. I remember the time my mom spent hours trying to teach Thelma how to feed herself and try to take care of herself and work so hard. Thelma's been filled, her life has been filled with people that loved her so much. And my grandfather lived with us, we called him Paca. Paca didn't want Thelma to go into home. Mm-hmm. So she lived with us until Paca passed away. I was probably 11 years old. And my mom and dad, I remember traveling to place to try to find a perfect place to put Thelma. And found a place, a Galilean home in Kentucky, where she spent 30-some years.
34.
34 mm-hmm. years. A family that just loved kids. Just a little, I don't know if anybody's known about them, but it was a couple that couldn't have kids.
Right.
And they wanted to adopt. And everything that came to them was special needs. So they just made that their life. Thought that's what God wanted for them. And they've got the most amazing family.
Yeah.
Of love. I don't know how many kids they adopted for sure. But they got support from all over. But she has a lot of brothers and sisters at the Galilean home.
Yes, she did.
They treated her like family. And then coming back to finish her life here with my mom and dad and Jamie and Lily, just couldn't ask for a better life for Thelma. Thank you guys so much. And Lily, Thank you. You're a very special part of Thelma's life.
Yeah, she was. It is. Mm-hmm. Next. Sid? Yeah, say something.
I was 8 years old when Thelma was born. I think my math is correct.
It would be.
And I did spend quite a few years helping to take care of her, feeding her. And then it's about all I can think of at the moment. If I think of something else, then I'll let my brother know.
Rose.
A lot of what I had in my mind to say, Johnny already shared. But the interesting things, there's a couple of interesting things. Thelma's life has really impacted our family regarding helping those in need. And I don't think that we would have the perspective we do as a family. If it hadn't been for Thelma, we would have never met the Galilean Home people. We would have never, Thelma really made us realize that she was valuable. God used her in our lives to really show us that people that have special needs are very valuable to God. And we don't understand a lot of things about her purpose here on earth. But God knows why. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that in heaven and eternity, we're going to be amazed what purposes she had. As a kid, I remember thinking that it was kind of normal for us to have her in the house. It was a normal thing for us because she just always was with us. But when I had friends over, it wasn't so normal. And I remember having friends over, and it wasn't easy because they were scared of Thelma. And but I tried to always tell my friends that it was okay. She's not going to hurt you. Special needs people like Thelma don't hurt people. And, so I wish I had prepared more and written some things down, but those are just the thoughts I had off the cuff right now.
I'd like to just share one story about Brother John and how his sister might have made a big difference in his life as he helped someone else. We were in Guwahati, Assam, India, and John he's walking along and he saw that there was a boy on the railroad tracks bleeding and having seizures with a broken arm. And his name's Rafikul. And he's a boy with special needs too. And he didn't really speak any language really fluently. We tried all kinds of languages, but John scooped him up and brought him to the hospital and forced the hospital to help because they were reluctant. And he recovered and lived with Brother John and Sister Judy. And in the end, when the Seitzmas couldn't return to India, they found a place for him at a blind school. A dear brother runs that school. And Rafikul does really well with all these blind people. And I didn't think of it until right now, but just knowing that your sister had these special needs and that was normal for you to take care of her, maybe that influenced you to see the need and know that you could do something for Rafi Kool there in India. And so I think Thelma might have had a part in that.
Brother, a big, am I hooked up? Yeah, a very big part. Lily, what do you want to say?
Well, I will say something. I just do want to publicly just thank the Lord for him allowing me to have part in Thelma's care. And I know for both me and Lily, like, our lives just wouldn't be the same had we not met Thelma. And for Lily, she got to spend countless hours playing with Thelma, and she never wanted her to go. She would always say, Thelma doesn't want to go. So she would decide things that Thelma wanted sometime. But I'm just thankful, like, for the opportunity. And I guess one thing that sticks out to me most when I first started taking care of her is just she showed me how much of an entitlement mindset I had. And she seemed so content just with the abilities God gave her, and I could complain if things weren't going my way and not be thankful just that I could speak and run and talk and eat. And so I will remember Thelma forever, but I hope that the memory of her will also help me remember just that I don't deserve to have life. I don't deserve to have speech. I don't deserve to have anything. They are good gifts from God, but I'm not entitled to them. And I mean, there's many ways I'm thankful for Thelma in our lives, but that's one that sticks out to me. Would you like to say something about Thelma?
I want to care for her.
Okay. What'd you say?
She wants to care for Thelma.
Oh, she wants to care for Thelma. Thank you. You know, this very fact that you have someone like Thelma living in your home, I don't know how many times I'd say to John and to Ruth, stop complaining. Right? You could be like Thelma. You're complaining? What could you say, you know?
And the big thing is don't make fun of anybody that has. Something I tell my kids. It's not on. But something I tell my kids.
Yeah. It's on now.
It's on. If there's somebody that has a special need or somebody that's not as good as you at anything, God's given everybody special gifts in every different area of their life. And whatever you do, just be thankful for what you have and be thankful for what everybody has, because not everybody has the same talents, the same gifts. And we could be like Thelma. We'd just be thankful for what we have and what we're able to do.
Use what God has given us. And I would tell the kids, you won't live long enough to use everything that God has enabled you to possibly do. Our time is short. And so it was a blessing, a real blessing in that respect. Who else wants to share anything? Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. Should I stand up so people can see me? I was thinking today, you know, I pray and God, what should I say? And anyway, it makes me think, when did I first know Thelma? And it started with 50 years ago, I started courting John. And it was at this time of the year, anyway. I can just say it's been a, you know, great blessing. When you marry somebody, you don't just marry them. You marry Amen. The whole family. Amen. And that has definitely been, you know, our story. And I know the Lord has put on my heart, too. I can give a little testimony of, you know, Brandon and some of you know Ruth and Brandon, and they believe the Lord has saved their 7-year-old daughter. And she memorized Psalm 139. And so she was reciting it on a WhatsApp verbal message. And I thought, you know, that's a song. And so the first 6 verses have really meant something to me, because that song keeps playing over and over in my mind. And I'm going to read it here. I'm not going to sing it. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. This is KJV. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest me my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. And that was precious to me. He's laid his hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And just in so many ways, the Lord has used Thelma in my life to deal with my heart. And God has given her to me for those reasons, and me to her to take care of her, you know. His providences are miraculous, amazing. And then I know we were having a class with kids and grandkids before Thanksgiving and memorizing these verses too. And these have been very special, and I tried to memorize them, but I'm not going to say it without looking. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. And those, you know, just meditating on those things, and it's just been a good time. And we know that this is not Thelma anymore. We believe she's rejoicing in heaven. People say, you know, you have our sympathy, and yet I'm not feeling very sorry. We miss her and stuff, but it is natural to have sorrow. And there is some, I won't say there's none, but I think more of her and where she is, and she went just a little ahead of us. And we plan, you know, by the grace of God, we plan to follow her. So I just want to say, too, being part of the Seitzma family has been a great blessing.
Amen.
She is right. When you get married, you marry the family. And what she married was far more than she imagined. Because she had to not only put up with me, but then had to put up with the rest of the family, too. You say that? You don't.
Nobody, when they get married, knows what they're really getting into. And God has a plan, and yeah, he definitely has it for good for his children.
Yeah. Someone else? Yeah. It's on.
I really appreciate Judy and John, the love they've shown for Thelma at the time that she's been here. And we know she's going through eternity. And I've lived a long, happy, healthy life. And as Johnny said, we all have gifts, and we all have sorrows, and we need to use them the way the Lord intended for us. And in my long, happy, healthy life, like I can just say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Yeah, amen.
Today, I'm 95 years old.
Who else? Anybody else? Lisa? Then I guess it's my turn. So many thoughts go through my mind. It's hard for me to put them all in proper order because I'm looking at the big picture. What God has done, not just in Thelma's life, but in our life, in my life. And it just amazes me how God has used weakness to accomplish his purposes. Because if I can come away from tonight, and you can come away from tonight, recognizing the glory of how God uses weakness to accomplish his purpose. I mean, everything about redemption is Jesus coming down, reducing himself to unbelievable weakness to save us. It's beyond our comprehension that the God of glory could come down, give up all of that glory, and be obedient even unto death, the death of the cross. But he's highly exalted now. And he's busy accomplishing his purposes through weak people. Yes, when I was young, Thelma was born first, 2 years ahead of me. Then when I was 4, my mother died. By the time I was 9, my father was pretty well dysfunctional. His mind was not able to function in a normal way, and this degeneration of the nervous system affected his bodily abilities physically too. And I remember thinking as a little kid, I don't have a family. I don't have a normal father. I don't have a mother at all, and I don't have a normal father, and I've got this person from my sister, and, you know, I can remember when Nellie, she's listening in, my older sister by 8 years. By then, I guess I was probably 12. And we had some problems with Thelma. She had some medical issues, and we didn't know what to do, so we went down to the doctor down the street and related our plight, and he looked at me and looked at her and wondered why we weren't in a padded cell. But, you know, I look back at it now and say it's amazing how God used those trials and difficulties in my life for good. Who could imagine it? And my sister is not the first one. Before her, the first John was born with handicaps worse than her, and he died on his first birthday. But my father was so convinced that we're created in the image of God, and that even if our minds or bodies don't work properly, we have tremendous value in God's eyes, created in his image. Now, my brother and my sister, I think we would all testify, we thought God placed too much value on Thelma and not enough on us. But that came across. And my father, with all of his weaknesses, I'm not going to trade him for anybody else. He had all these weaknesses, but his weaknesses drove him to live on God's word and pray. Pray for us. Pray for Thelma. Pray for Sid. Pray for Nellie. I don't know anybody who prayed for his kids more than my dad did. And then, amazing thing, she maybe only ever had a 6-month mentality, but she was plenty rambunctious for a, you know, a 6-month-old can get pretty angry, pretty rebellious. And that was who she was. And then somewhere in the teenage years, God did something. That's the only explanation I have, and made her the most quiet, peaceful, patient person that I ever met. And I have no answer for it, except our God can do things far beyond what we can understand. We believe that if God saves us, it's a miracle. We believe in a miracle-working God. God can do the impossible. God can communicate in ways we don't understand. Now, that doesn't create an excuse for us who do have minds and do understand. But we serve a God who could make John the Baptist jump in his mother's womb for joy when he heard the salutation of Mary. And brother, I don't know how to explain that, nor do I need to know how to explain that. So here I was with a weak father, weak sister, no mother, all weaknesses, and yet God is continuing to work in our lives, teaching us. There was one really good thing about my childhood, and that was I became more and more convinced that this life is a life filled with misery. Then, of course, I tried to pursue it and money and business and so forth until God... I could not find satisfaction, could not find joy until I found it in Christ. But coming back to Thelma, I don't know how God purposed all of this, but I do know that she's been a real blessing in my life, a real blessing in the home of the Galilean home. And you might say, well, why did you really let her go there instead of keeping her? Again, it comes back to my father. He really felt that this was a gift from God, and we better not despise this gift. So we didn't have the heart to put her in a home as long as my dad was living, because it broke his heart. And yet we heard about this strange couple in the mountains of Kentucky, and they were strange. They came from a Mennonite background, and then they got too charismatic. But put that all aside, we came from our thoroughly correct doctrinal position. And then we thought, well, we heard about this place. We ought to visit this place. We get there, and they got rows and rooms, and they got this kid there and that kid there, and some of them didn't live very long. And here they, what they were doing, like Johnny was saying, they were adopting these vegetable cases, as they called them. And I'm thinking, wow, we got the truth. We got all these doctrines, but where's our love? These people are outdoing us in love. And then they wouldn't take a penny from the government. So Judy and I said, if Dad passes away, we cannot put Thelma somewhere as long as my dad's living. But if he passes away, this is a home where the people running it love the kids. And the kids, if you might have saw some of the pictures, they can relate to each other. This would be a really good place for Thelma. You see it with Lily. You see, these kids, weak things minister to weak things. So that's why when my dad passed away, we brought her there, and she was there for 34 years. The mother of that home passed away with cancer. In the end, they couldn't care for her. And a year ago, September, we went there thinking we were going for a funeral. And we were able to take her back. We knew they couldn't pour into her the care, and God gave us the privilege to bring her back into our house and have her minister to us with a tremendous challenge as to what patience and contentment really is. Sit there waiting contentedly, patiently for us to help her, putting out her hand when we come by her. It wasn't like she was a zombie. Put out her hand, please help me. Real challenge to me. Yes, I'm focused on missions, but I'm convinced that these months have been a good reminder for me that perhaps I don't see the same value in things sometimes that he does. And at the end of the day, I'm thinking, perhaps she knew more about the fruit of the Spirit than I do. Not only are we created in the image of God, we're going to live on eternally. Isn't that something? And it was really interesting. I shared this in the church here. A couple days before she died, I was reading in Revelation 21. I was talking about God. He's going to make all things new. And there's not going to be any more crying, no more weeping. Wow. Wipe away every tear. No more death. No more mourning, no more pain. The former things are all passed away. It was really strange. I was saying to Thelma, as I was tapping her, I said, Thelma, it's only a little while. And God's going to make all things new. And I never talked to her that way because I figured she can't hear me. And it was a strange thing. And then it was just a day or so later, I come to her in the middle of the night, and she's limp. Not completely dead. We could get a little bit of pulse and oxygen, and she was drifting away in peacefulness. So do I believe that God saves people whose minds don't function perfectly? I'm absolutely convinced of that. Yeah. I know David was too. He thought when his son died, he won't come to me, but I'm going to go to him. Not just in the ground. He was going to go to be with his son in glory. And I was thinking about that. Maybe the reason my dad was so focused on the value of Thelma is because the first John, as he would describe it, who died on his first birthday, my dad would describe that as something absolutely glorious that day when God came for his soul. And I don't know how. My dad wasn't charismatic either. And yet there was something supernaturally extraordinary taking place when his spirit was taken from that body. And so I think that stirred my dad to think even more You know, these people have real value. And yes, that has not only an impact, she's not only had an impact on me in ministering a message of patience, but her impact, even my dad with all of his weakness, has impacted my life and outlook in the world, you know, because it makes my heart, like he described, I forgot all about Rafakul's again, but it does, it stirs your heart to those who nobody wants. My mind is stirring regularly on two boys in villages in Nepal who are like Thelma. And then, you know, you got all the children. And I'm more convinced now than ever, and I was talking to Tim the other day about this, and I said, if we pour out our lives for the most helpless people on earth, God's going to use it. And when I see how we pour out our lives for little children, and then God turns around and saves them, and then they get a little bit bigger, and then God uses them for the salvation of others. God is in the business of using weak things. And I'm so prone to think that, God can use that person if he'd save them, and because he's got this gift and that gift. And no. The shaping of my life has been greatly affected because of her and because of my dad. Even the taking away of my mother. He does everything well. And that doctor who thought we should be in a straight cell, he didn't understand what God was doing. God is going to turn all things together for good. And for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And he's calling people according to his purpose, some with no minds, we would say, and some with minds, like those sitting here today. Everybody here today, you have minds. You've heard the message. So what God can do supernaturally in the life of someone like Thelma is no excuse for us if we have a mind. In fact, today, this very day, John 3, verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Look, God receives the helpless. Our problem isn't that we're not strong enough. Our problem is we don't recognize how helpless we are. And if we come to him with our helplessness, he'll receive us. He receives the helpless. He really does. Brethren, it's a mystery how God works. And so I just want us to go away from here thinking that we serve such a great big God. A God who is so good. A God who does no things wrong. A God who is perfect in his timing. Nothing happens by accident. Now may we respond to his goodness, that the goodness of God will lead us to new levels of repentance to follow him like we never have before. That's what I want for me. Thank you, Lord. Maybe we can sing that last song. Turn the light so you can see the screen, maybe. We'll sing this last song in closing. And if you have questions or thoughts, you can ask us later. Let's give thanks. Father, we thank you so much for what you've done in Thelma's life, for what you've done in the lives of those that have ministered to her. Lord, we thank you for the way you work in such mysterious ways to accomplish your purposes. Please help us, Father. Help us to reach out to the helpless, to the widows, to the orphans. Father, help us to reach out in ways that you say what we do to the least of these, we're doing to Jesus. Father, please deliver us from the mindset of our culture. Lord, you've given us so many opportunities to minister to the urgent physical and spiritual needs of people in this world. And you would bless your people so much if we would be focused on doing what you want us to do, beginning here at home and stretching to the ends of the earth. Lord, thank you. You tell us we should be devoted to good works. Father, help us. We feel in so many ways we're just getting started. For myself individually and as a church, we desire to see the power of your Spirit poured out upon us, and that you'd remove out of our hearts the selfishness that hinders us from ministering to the weak and thinking they're less valuable somehow. Father, that's not the way you think. Father, help us to think straight. Thank you that you've not left us completely to ourselves. I thank you for tonight, and thank you for the families you've given to us. And thank you, Father, that you're still in the business of saving helpless, weak sinners. We look to you, Father, to continue your work. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brethren, we don't have any urgency to leave here quickly. We can take our time. I think it's only 8:06 or so. And take your time. Let's fellowship. If anybody wants to come up front here yet, they're certainly welcome to do so. Is there any other announcements? No? Okay. Thank you. God bless.